That just tells you about that man, how much people wanted to meet him, just to get to see him and even touch him.
Jimmy Carter is arguably Georgia's most famous resident. He and his wife, Rosalind, are certainly some of the state's most beloved. But what is it like living in the same community and interacting with a former president, an award-winning humanitarian, and a Nobel Peace Prize recipient? Who better to ask than the residents in President Carter's hometown, the people of Plains?
Born in Plains, where the fields will blow, oh, so gentle and kind. A farmer, a peanut, with a heart to shine. Carry his faith in everything he do. A peacemaker at heart, always tried to see it through. He stood by friends through thick and thin, in the light of hope that his journey began. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man.
This is Plain Spoken, Jimmy Carter and the People of Plains, a three-part podcast series and joint production between Georgia Public Broadcasting and myself, Andrew Greer. These episodes were created from the master tape recordings of my documentary, Plain Spoken. It explores the divides that exist in Jimmy Carter's hometown and now my hometown of Plains, Georgia. While putting together that documentary, there were just too many good Jimmy Carter stories that were going to end up on the cutting room floor. So I am putting some of those stories here in this podcast. And this episode is titled Jimmy Carter, Common Citizen.
Well, I try to fit in just as a common citizen. Of course, we're kind of exalted since I was president, but and they call me for a leadership position sometimes, but I give advice and then stay out of the mundane issues that Plains has to face.
That is the former president in his own words. But what does it mean when he says common citizen?
So President and Mrs. Carter are guests at my house quite often. And one particular day, I don't know what I was in the kitchen doing something, and I looked up and President Carter was coming through the kitchen carrying one of my chairs. I said, what are you doing? He said, it's broken. I'm going to fix it. I'll bring it back in the morning.
This is Jill Stuckey. She's the superintendent of the Jimmy Carter National Historic Site in Plains and became personal friends with the Carters many years ago.
President Carter was coming through the kitchen carrying one of my chairs. I said, what are you doing? He said, it's broken. I'm going to fix it. I'll bring it back in the morning. Okay. So 7:30 the next morning, in comes the former leader of the free world, my handyman, with my chair. It was perfectly fixed. He had taken it to his wood shop and had repaired it and put it back. You know, that story just goes to show that he is so accessible to everybody. He is the neighbor to everybody in Plains. And what most everybody in Plains can tell you a story about how he fixed their furniture or how he sold them down in the yard and he cleaned it up or how he helped them financially or how he goes dove hunting with them or some person's story.
When Jimmy Carter says that he tries to just be a common citizen, this is what he means.
Well, my children, they had the children disease, like measles, mumps, and so forth. They never had it together. When April had hers, then Brother Susie had hers, and on down the line, they never had nothing together. So that made me have to stay home all the time.
All right, we're on the front porch of Mary Minion's house in Plains. Now, she grew up on a farm in Archery, Georgia, not too far from the Carter's farm. Her husband worked on the Carter farm. Her children were born on that farm. She was Billy Carter's babysitter, and her mother and Jimmy Carter's mother, Miss Lillian, worked together at the hospital.
She came out there, and my daughter Susan, she had kidney trouble when she was born with bronchitis. And I thought, Well, my children, they had the children disease, like measles, mumps, and so forth. They never had it together. When April had hers, and when Susie had hers, and on down the line, they never had nothing together. So that made me have to stay home all the time. And I brought her up here to register for school. And Miss Wagner, she was the nurse out there. But she had swollen up under here. And she asked me what was wrong. And I said, we thought she had them mumps. Well, you know, you do swell up under here with mumps. And she checked her, and she said, this child need to go to the hospital, need to go to the doctor. So I left here and went on to America to Dr. Anderson.
Mary is telling us a story of her daughter, Susan, needing to stay in the hospital. The Carters visited Susan almost every day.
I took her on to the doctor's office, and he sent her straight to the hospital. And he said, this is a sick child, and the Carters came over there. They came over there practically every day she was there. And he told them at the desk, because then, you know, the black was on one side and white was on the other side, and we was right below the office on the fourth floor. And he said, whatever this child and Mary need, I want them to have it. But let me back up. Her nose started bleeding that night about 12 o'clock. Because Dr. Anderson called us across the hall, and he talked with my husband, me and my mother. And he said, this is a sick child. I've done everything I need to do, I know to do. But I'm going to read some. He had his book then. He said, I'm going to call in some more doctors. And by 12 o'clock that night, her nose just bust loose and with the bleeding, just like you turn on a faucet. And he said, if she hadn't, her nose hadn't bled, she would have had a stroke and died. And when he came in the next morning, the bed was still bloody. And he asked me, did they bleed again? I said, no, they didn't change it. And he gave them. The folks at the desk, he gave them the devil, so they came down there two on one and changed it. But when President Carter them come out there, everything he said, they did it. And that was good, because if he had not, he said, anything she need or want, I wanted to have it.
Him. And I quote, Jimmy Carter gave them the devil. Can you imagine?
So the Carters has been my backbone. They had been my backbone. They was there with my daughter. They was there with my husband. And they were there for me. They were there for me first. And then. So I can't ever forget them.
One more question, Mary. Why do you think the Carters have been there for you?
Because we was, I don't know, just nice people, all I can say, respectable people. Mm-hmm. So they've been there just like a family. Mm-hmm. The only difference I could see was they was one color and I was another one. But I had no control over that. But as I said, what do we say when we pray? Our Father. Mm-hmm. That's it. Anything else?
Plains is full of stories just like these. Let's go back to Jill Stuckey.
I was at the post office the other day, and the postmistress was talking about how she used to bring bologna sandwiches, and Rosalind would come in and eat with them. You know, everybody in Plains has a personal story about the Carters. They're not hidden away in some bunker. They're community members in Plains. What's the world they like? You can oftentimes see them riding their bikes around Plains. All the store owners, they used to go in and stop by and ask how business was, and you know, anything we can do for you. And even today, when Reverend Tony goes to see the Carters, they'll both say, okay, who can we pray for? Who do we need to call? What do we need to do to help people? Even today, they are asking what they can do for others. They're not saying, oh, do this for me. They're saying, what can we do for others?
I sat down with one of President Carter's childhood friends, Johnny Davey, who was 94 at the time that we talked. And we were sitting on the front porch of the former president's boyhood home just outside of Plains, Georgia.
Yeah, since you grew up together, what do you call President Carter?
What do I call him? Jimmy. Yeah.
Now, when it first, if his dad told me to go tell him something, he would say, go tell Mr. Jimmy. All I call when I'm talking to him, he called me John and I call him Jimmy. So he did, that didn't ever bother him. We had one thing, he never did bother. We always were able to talk to one another, call one another.
And every Sunday that he talked, the whole parking lot was slept full. And that just tells you about that man, how much people wanted to meet him, just to get to see him and even touch him. I mean, that's how much he meant to a lot of people. Yeah.
This is my good friend George Williams. He and his wife Jan live in the house just behind mine, and he grew up on a peanut farm. In fact, his family's peanut business and the Carters' peanut business were competitors.
You grew up with Jimmy, so was that a strange experience when he kind of became bigger than life to some degree as a leader of the free world?
Well, when Mr. Jimmy came back from the Navy in 1953, when his dad died, I was 10 years old. I was born in 43. And his business and our business used to be in competition with each other. And I've seen Mr. Jimmy fork peanuts just like we did, back trailers, ride his boys on his tractors when they were young, just like our dad did. And they just like family. I mean, you know, just sort of like my dad, because my dad did the same thing that Mr. Jimmy did years ago, and that was hard work. You know.
Do you call him President Carter?
Called Mr. Jimmy. I had a Canadian broadcasting crew one day met me in the parking lot when the cars were coming in, and she wanted to know what did I call him. I said, I called him Mr. Jimmy. She said, you don't call him Mr. President? I said, no, I call him Mr. Jimmy.
Thanks for listening to Plainspoken, Jimmy Carter and the People of Plains. In the next episode, we'll find out what it was like growing up with Jimmy Carter.
Well, I grew up in a community that was completely segregated, and we didn't pay any attention to it.
The documentary Plainspoken is available on demand at gpb.org.
In the light of his smile, found the courage to withstand. He brought us peace, made the world understand. Every prayer, his heart was true, an honest friend just like me and you. Christian faith as his guiding star, he brought us together from near and far. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man. Raise a hand, took a stand, led with love across this land. The strength of a friend, a gentle guide, in unity and peace he found his stride.
Raise a hand, raise the hand.